But in those small actions, those very small actions, very small, what you find is that your body says, oh, I can get used to this. Oh, it's okay for me to slow down. The world's not going to fall apart. Do you want to disrupt the myths and redefine the narrative of what it means to thrive in midlife? Then you're in the right place. Welcome to Midlife Revival, the podcast that's all about celebrating the power and resilience of you in midlife. I'm your host, Dr. Taniqua Miller, board-certified OBGYN with expertise in menopausal care and life coach for your midlife journey. My mission is simple, to walk with you through the highs, the lows, and the in-betweens of your midlife journey. We will navigate the changes, embrace the challenges, and discover what it means to have infinite possibilities. Get ready for candid conversations, expert insights, and a whole lot of fierce determination. This is Midlife Revival, the podcast that's here to disrupt stereotypes, elevate your midlife game, and celebrate the journey like never before. So sit back, pour up some tea, because we're about to unapologetically flip the script of what it means to thrive in midlife. Before we get into the episode, I want to announce to you an opportunity to work with me and be in community with other members of the Revival family. If this Midlife Revival podcast has been everything that you needed every other week in your podcast lineup, then you definitely want to be in the house for my virtual revivals. Yes, you know those revivals, like when you go to church with your family or when you go to that concert and it brings everybody together. That's exactly what we're talking about. Revival is all about living again and really embracing the changes and the challenges of this midlife journey. And so each month, I'm coming in community with all of you. That's right. Every month, we hop on a Zoom and we come in community, and I'm available as a menopause health expert, as well as a midlife coach, to answer all of your questions on a given topic in perimenopause, menopause, midlife, and beyond. So what does that mean? That means that you do not have to go through this journey alone. In fact, I invite you to take off that superhero cape. I invite you to take a load off. And when you step into the doors of Revival, the virtual event, which happens each month, then you will be in community with other like-minded people like you. So our next Revival is April 23rd at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is a free event. All you need to do is register. So go to the show notes and register so that you can be in the house for our next revival. And a little surprise for you, each revival over the next several months would have a special guest so that we are building community with experts in our community so that you can feel empowered through this perimenopausal, menopausal, and midlife journey. I will see you in the house for the next revival. Hey, 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 and welcome back to Midlife Revival, the podcast. This is Dr. Taniqua. I am coming on here today, and I want to share with you what my biggest hope and dream is for everyone going through this perimenopausal, menopausal, midlife journey. And that is to embrace your pleasure. Embrace your pleasure. And I'm going to have a guest on in the next podcast episode where we're talking about pleasure, but I really want to set the stage for that episode. So here we go. Of course, story time, everybody. So in the spring of 2022, I had a moment in my car. I was coming from a meeting where basically I was told that the work that I literally was charged to do, I wasn't doing it right. Without getting into too many details, there was what felt like an attack, not just on the work that I was doing, but also personally on how I was showing up. And ever aware that my face on these Zoom calls could make certain type of looks and faces and things like that, I really just took it. I felt like I couldn't really defend myself, and I could feel the anxiety rising up in me. Generally, after these meetings, I would just break down in tears. But this particular day, I had some stuff to do. I had a meeting back to back to back in the morning, and then I was headed over to my clinic where in a half-day session, I had about 14 patients scheduled. So if you could imagine, I was seeing 14 patients in that four-hour period. Was it 4 hours? Yeah, it was about 4 hours. Okay, so I get in my car, and I head to work, and I get into the parking lot. And as I'm like getting into the parking lot, I start feeling like the chest pain, which started out as pressure growing worse and worse and worse. And here's the thing. I was diagnosed with anxiety during my residency training. I had a full workup. I had EKG. The last thing that they were going to do was a chest x-ray because I would have this chest pressure. But it was always during a certain rotation and when I would go to a certain floor. And so it seems very episodic. And I just knew at the time that that was the source of my anxiety. But it seemed as though during this time, leading up to this moment in my car, that the anxiety that I was experiencing was more on a daily basis, not just this episodic, hey, I'm walking into this particular rotation or this particular operating room or this particular hospital floor, but it was all the time. And the things that would make it go away were me not being at work or me having a glass of Prosecco. Okay. And so clearly, I know now this was my body's what we call signal anxiety, where we're feeling that physical pressure in our chest. I have now embraced that pressure, not as something to run away from, but as something to really tell me that I am not safe here. Okay. So I pull into the parking space and the pressure, the pain, it was like, I think I'm having a heart attack, which now I talk about it and I'm like, was I having a panic attack? And I sit in my car and I literally cannot get up out of the seat. I don't know if I could, if anybody's had a minivan, minivans are very roomy. I love my minivan, feels very luxe to me, right? Despite having all of the Takis in the back on the seat and on the floor. But I'm feeling this pressure grow and I'm cute, right? Like I have on my little outfit, I'm going to clinic, I have on my white coat, I am Dr. Miller. And yet in that moment, I felt anything but special. I felt like a failure. I felt like, why can't I get myself together? And I just started sobbing, 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 sobbing. And in fact, when I finally did wheel myself from the seat of my minivan and went into my clinic, I was in bad shape. I had to step off into the bathroom, put cold water on my face because the pain was roaring. And it was a colleague that saw me and had kind of witnessed some of these episodes in the past who called me the next day and was like, I really think that you need some time off. I think that you're burnt out. I'm afraid that you're going to just leave medicine altogether. And I don't know if that's what it is. I just think in this season, you're burnt out. And of course, being the high achieving, type A, highly ambitious Black physician, Black woman, I was like, no, I'm not leaving. And then I was like, actually, when I found myself crying again after doing 2 C-sections before 10 a.m., I was like, okay, yeah, I need to take a break. So imagine, I'm on my break and I have 4 weeks. I have nothing to do. I don't have any obligations other than to like my family, my children, things like that. But I really don't have any other obligations. And my husband went to work and my children went off to school or camp, whatever they were doing at the time. I can't remember now. And I literally was sitting on my couch in my living room. I think I wore a pretty dress that day. I might have gotten dressed up just to kind of feel better. But I was literally sitting on my couch and I didn't know what to do. At the start of this, I was hoping, wondering, praying, could I fix my professional burnout? How can I fix myself? Who could I talk to? How many books can I read? I went through all of that. But I was just like, what do I do? And I remember this thought came to me that said, well, what do you like to do? And I was like, I don't know. And so think about it. I have 4 weeks of time off ahead of me, right? No vacation plan, no nothing. My kids are occupied during the day. So I literally have this chunk of 8 hours where I intentionally am not achieving anything, right? So many times when we take time off, even in our time off, we're still working for something, towards something, to do something. But here it was, no, this was break. This was leave. I was supposed to do nothing. I was supposed to focus on my health and focus on taking care of me. And I will tell you, I was embarrassed. I had this painful realization that I had no idea what I liked. I didn't know what brought me pleasure. And we talk about pleasure in very narrow terms. When we think of pleasure, we're thinking really about physical pleasure, physical intimacy, sexual pleasure, things like that. And I'm not talking about that. In fact, when we say, ooh, what do you do for pleasure? It seems a little scandalous. which it shouldn't, but that's what society does, right? Especially as a woman and wanting to seek out pleasure. When we frame it in those very narrow terms, is as if we're self-centered, we're selfish, we're scandalous. And I'm not talking about that. I don't agree with that anyway, but I'm not talking about that. So what I had to explore was, how can I bring pleasure back into my life? And here's the thing. Your brain does not know the difference. I'm going to say that again. Your brain does not know the difference. It does not know the difference between you actually getting some physical pleasure in and doing something that just makes you feel good. It still releases dopamine in that reward center of the brain. Dopamine is dopamine. And so what was empowering in that moment when I realized that I was sitting on the couch that I had no idea what I liked, what was empowering in that moment is that, again, when we think about pleasure, we think about it coming from other places and other people. But dopamine is dopamine. And I needed to realize that I was in full control of my dopamine. Okay. And so I had to have some self-forgiveness here, right? For so long, as a physician, as a wife, as a mother, I felt like I had always been in service to others. And that was the noble, admirable thing. When you think about showing up, I think about showing up to the PTA. And even though I would be up for a call and then have to show up the next day to volunteer at school, which I enjoy, but it really was like a lot of self-sacrifice, right? Like, this is what we're supposed to do. We sign up for things that we don't want to do because we feel like it's supposed to do us in service to others. I talk about this all about quitting. How do we let go of things that don't serve us? And that's a big thing, that we do things. We don't put on our oxygen mask necessarily first. And so we do so much in service to others that when we actually have to sit and ask ourselves, well, what do we want to do for ourselves? Like, what do we want to do to give ourselves some pleasure? There's sometimes that sneaky thought, it just creeps in. It creeps in and there's this sneaky thought like, I mean, do you deserve pleasure? Ooh, that's selfish. Shouldn't you be doing something? Shouldn't you be achieving something? Imagine having pleasure just for the sake of a pleasure. That means that you're not out here in these streets just trying to get promoted, achieve something, earn some accolade. You are just really out here just trying to make yourself feel good, be in control of your own dopamine. And so that sneaky thing will come up. And this podcast episode, I've been really leaning into pleasure because I had an experience with a therapist and she asked me, what do you do for pleasure? Like, what do you do to fill up your vessel? And if you could imagine taking this visual, think about every day you get the most beautiful vase. It's filled up and sometimes it's not filled up, but that's just to say it's filled up. And you get up in the morning and you're walking throughout your day and then the kids break something, spill something, need something, right? And so they pull you in one direction and a little bit of the water sloshes out. And then you get to work and work is crazy and your boss signs you up to be on this committee that you have no business being on, and you have to show up to this meeting because your colleague got sick and so you have to sub in. And then all of a sudden you get pulled that way and more of the water splashes out. And then you are in traffic and your 30-minute commute has now turned into 50-minute commute, more water splashes out. And that just means that you're late to picking up the kids from after school. The after school is annoyed, more water splashes out. And now you get home and your intention for dinner was to take out that ground turkey so that you could make spaghetti because it's easy peasy and you forgot to take it out. Now it's frozen. More water splashes out. So by the end of the day, you are pretty depleted. There's not a lot of water left over. You know how you feel when you had your cup of water and there's just that little itty bitty 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 left and you are super thirsty. You know that feeling. There's nothing left. You are thirsty. Well, in those instances, we go and we fill up the water bottle. So what are you doing to fill up your vessel? When you ask the question, how can I bring pleasure back? How can I bring that sense of fullness back? When so much of it is being expended out in the world. So I wanted to just give you some food for thought on, if you are not getting a lot of pleasure in your life, you're running throughout your day and the vessel, the water's just pouring out all over the place and you're looking for a way to fill that back up. Here are three ways to get started. Okay. So the first thing is just to start small. Ease your nervous system into this because you will start kicking and screaming when you actually start indulging on what you want. And your mind will feed you the story like, you don't deserve this. Why are you doing this? How dare you? But start small. Now, what do I mean by small? You go to get lunch. You see a sandwich you like. You want that avocado, that little extra little avocado on the side. Yet you're like, oh, but it's an extra X amount of dollars. I really don't need that. Get the avocado. Sis, get the avocado. Okay? You really want a latte, but you're trying to be sensible. You're like, look, I can drink this coffee that I made at home and it's fine. But you really want that special latte because maybe it's fall and pumpkin spice is back in. And you're like, I really could use with some pumpkin spice. Treat yourself. And then take it a step further. Instead of rushing back to your desk or rushing back home, sit and sip your latte. Sit and sip it. Be present for it. Enjoy it without blindly consuming it, right? One thing that my health coach had me do, and I had Dana Lawson on the podcast, is she had me bring a plate and fork and set a 20-minute timer to eat my lunch, to slow down, to luxuriate in eating lunch. And for some of us, when we're eating at our desk and we're at this like frenzy pace, especially with work, or if you're like me, you're running around on Saturday with children and you're running through the Chick-fil-A, you're running through the Chick-fil-A drive-thru, sit down. Take a load off. Eat something delicious. Maybe try a new salad and add the avocado. Set that timer for 20 minutes. Imagine what it would be like for your lunch break if you actually pulled out a whole plate with a fork and a knife and you poured your lunch onto the plate. And you sat there and you luxuriated in every bite for nothing other than your pleasure. Those are things that we can do to start small. It doesn't require too much of us. But in those small actions, those very small actions, very small, what you find is that your body says, oh, I can get used to this. Oh, it's okay for me to slow down. The world's not going to fall apart. Oh, this latte is delicious. And in fact, I might want to come back next week, same time, and order the same thing and sit like this. Oh, my brain is opened up. So maybe I can really journal on the things that I want to journal on. There's so many things with starting small as we build that pleasure muscle that can go so far for you. Okay, number two, build a habit by blocking off chunks of time to commit to pleasure each week. So this can be pretty tough because when it comes to everything else on our calendar, whether that's work meetings, whether that's the kids' practices, those seem non-negotiable. But when we block off time on our calendar for us, somebody says, oh, can we meet on such and such date? And we look and we see that we have that time blocked, but it's for our own pleasure, hear me out now. We will be the first ones to go against ourselves. Have you ever wondered why that is? I used to do the same thing all the time. And as I really started saying, I show up as a better person when I have blocked off time. I show up as a better version of me. I show up as a better mom. I show up as a better wife because I have a way that I'm filling my bucket so that I can give more to my family. And not feel irritable and not feel anxious. I need to block time off just for me. So literally on my calendar, every other Wednesday, I have about 2 hours blocked off in the morning. Every other Friday, so we alternate the weeks, I have 2 hours blocked off in the morning. Now, what enabled me to do this was that I ended up leaving this very traditional job. So I have a way that I can now work my business as well as my contract roles around this. But I block off those times and they are non-negotiable. They're non-negotiable. It's blocked off on my calendar. So if my clients that I coach or patients that want to schedule with me, they can't because it's literally blocked off as part of my calendar integrations. So what would that look like for you? Maybe you can't block off Monday through Friday. Maybe you can't. But what would it look like for you to block off an hour on Saturday? Start there. Maybe you drop your little one off to whatever activity, and then you block off that time. No phone calls, no nothing. And you go do something nice for yourself. Because I know sometimes it's hard to be able to reconcile your responsibilities, but what would that be? My next challenge for me is blocking off a whole day. I did this a little bit, and the high achieving type A person in me was feeding me the story that I could be productive in those times. And so when I block off those days, my brain feeds me, oh my gosh, but that's an opportunity for clients to schedule or patients to schedule. But I know that I can show up so much better if I do this. So I encourage you, find an hour to 2 hours a week devoted to your pleasure. Legit. I promise you the world's not going to fall apart if you take an hour or two for yourself. And what you gain from that, the release of dopamine in your brain, that feel-good feeling, that reward of treating yourself to just time. I remember listening to a podcast and it was very real. You know, the billionaires, you know, what's the great equalizer? The billion between us and billionaires. We have the same 24 hours in a day. So we get to choose what we do with that time, an hour out of your day or your week rather, to just block off some time just for you, the greatest gift, especially when we feel so time starved in our society. And then the final thing, number three, the final thing that I want you to consider as you are building this habit of bringing pleasure back into your life is to explore pleasure through your senses. Now hear me out. I worked with a health coach who introduced me to stress anchors. And she said, because we experience the world through our senses, when we are in the middle of the ocean of life and our boat is tugging every which way, anchors come into the storm to help steady our boats. And because we experience the world through the senses, finding anchors that support us through the senses makes sense. And I took it a step further to say, because we experience the world through our senses, we could experience pleasure through all of our senses. So what could that look like? That could be trying that new tea that you like so much or that you want to try, or buying it, like having a subscription. So when you have that hour that you've blocked off where you want to just listen to some music, you can go to that tea and through your sense of taste, you can enjoy that cup of tea. It could be buying the cashmere socks because you love how they feel on your feet. And so when you've blocked off that time, or if you're working from home and you want to just start small, you put on your cashmere socks and you luxuriate in how it feels on you. You like the scent of, for me, it's grapefruit candles, or maybe it's a lavender candle, and you explore different types of candles, and maybe you treat yourself to a candle and you just sit there for that hour and you burn that candle and maybe read a new book, right? Doesn't that sound delicious? That sounds amazing. That sounds like you're luxuriating in you and finding pleasure in the small things, and finding pleasure by building habits, and finding pleasure through your senses. So here's the thing. When we introduce pleasure back into the picture, we can withstand some of the challenges that perimenopause, menopause, and midlife can bring to us. And so I want to ask you, what resonates with you? Where can you bring back just a little bit of pleasure in your life? Where can you do that in your life today? As you're listening, you're in the car and you're on your way to work, or you're on the way to take in the kids somewhere, or you're going to a doctor's appointment, you're about to pick up the dog from the groomers, whatever it is. What can you do today to bring back just a little bit of pleasure into your life? I want to know. So you know, You can always send me an email at hello@taniquamd.com. I would love to hear from you. And if you are ready, you're like, Dr. T, I have a whole module in my coaching program on pleasure. If you're like, you know what? I just need a little bit of support right now. Not only am I these symptoms of perimenopause, these hot flashes, night sweats kicking my tail, but I also need a little bit of a boost and support as I'm exploring this new idea of pleasure. I got you. Email me too. In fact, I'll put a link in the show notes so that if you want to just set up your discovery call, you could book a one-to-one with me to see if my coaching program, Boundless Midlife, would support you. I would love to talk to you and support you if it's a right fit. Okay. So our marching orders today, pleasure, 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 and more pleasure. Find it in the little ways. When you incorporate small daily acts of pleasure for your life, it will change you. It will change your life, the way you show up at work, the way you show up in your family, the type of human being that you are. Because we are responsible for finding our own pleasure. We can't outsource that to other people. All right. I will see you for the next one. And peace out, y'all. Thank you for tuning in to Midlife Revival, the podcast that celebrates the beautiful midlife journey that is you. I'm your host, Dr. Taniqua. If you enjoyed this podcast episode, go ahead and hit subscribe and give us a little bit of those 5 stars that we love so much. And share this episode with a friend you know who needs to hear this message, because sharing is caring. Catch you for the next one.